out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed life into his nostrils. He then made woman, because there was no companion for the man. None of the animals he created would do. So now there's man and woman, Adam and Eve, and they're placed in the middle of paradise, Garden of Eden. And they're told just one thing. They're given God's law, and it's only one thing, and that is you can partake of anything in the garden. You can eat any of the fruit, any of the vegetables. You just cannot take from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then we see that there's a serpent that's more cunning than any other beast of the field. We see that Satan, our adversary, has inhabited this body. And the serpent says to Eve, what God told you, that if you partake of this fruit, you will surely die. I'm here to tell you, you shall not surely die. So she looked at the fruit and saw that it was good to eat, and she took it and ate of it and gave it to her husband, Adam, to also eat. They ate it, and immediately they realized they were naked, and they felt shame for the first time. So in an attempt to cover up, they sewed fig leaves together. The reality was the covering that God had given them was now gone, because sin entered their souls, entered the world. Then it says in Genesis chapter 3, in the cool of the day, they heard God walking in the garden. And they were afraid, so they hid. And God said, "Where are you?" Knowing full and well that they were hiding, but he wanted confession from man. He wanted man to say, "I blew it. I sinned, and I'm afraid, so I'm hiding." And we feel shame, so we covered up. God asks the man, Adam, "What happened? What did you do?" And Adam said, "The woman you gave me made me eat," blaming not only the woman, but God himself. Obviously, the woman you gave me was where you did wrong, God. And then he says to the woman, "What did you do?" And she blames the serpent. "The serpent deceived me." The classic, "The devil made me do it." So God handed out punishment for Adam and Eve, and also for the serpent, for Satan. For Satan, he said that this woman and you shall have enmity. That doesn't mean just you will be enemies. It means you will be opposites always. And your descendants and her descendants, there will be enmity. And he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. The very punishment that God gave to Eve was that she would have trouble in childbearing. She would have great pain. Within that, and within the declaration that he gives to the serpent, we see for the first time the first Christmas story. "I have designed Eve, the one that you deceived, to give birth to the very person that will crush your head, Jesus Christ. You will strike his heel. You will bruise him. But he will defeat you." To paraphrase, God is saying, "Satan, Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming." In Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, it says, "Christ Jesus had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself, that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave and became human. Jesus had to become human because as humans, we sinned. He gave us dominion of the world and we blew it. He had to correct it by becoming a human. He had to be born just as you and I are born. And he had to be born under the law. And he had to be perfect. He had to complete and satisfy the law, fulfilling the law where you and I cannot. In Galatians 4, verses 4 through 5, it says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, just as God first declared in the Garden of Eden, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons." The very thing that we lost when we sinned, when we disobeyed God in the garden, is restored to us through Christ Jesus. Philippians continues, "Having become human, he stayed human." It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Jesus had to be human to die for humanity. Jesus had to be human to satisfy the law because the law said that when sin comes into our lives, that blood must be shed. The book of Hebrews says that the blood of goats and sheep do not cover the multitude of our sins. So Jesus had to come, someone who fulfilled the law, somebody who was sinless, to die for us. He had to be human in order to have blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins and for the remission of our sins. Jesus also had to be human in order to reconcile us to the Father, in order to be a mediator between human beings and God the Father. The reason we can come boldly before his throne and pray is because of what Jesus did, because Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. And we can pray boldly in Jesus' name. Notice at the beginning of this, it says, "Having become human, he stayed human." Jesus did not just come as a baby and was raised up into an adult and age 33 or so, best guess, gave his life and he took humanity off. He remains human in a glorified body, just as you and I will one day have. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, it says that the disciples are watching Jesus ascend to the Father after his crucifixion. And two men in robes, most likely angels, say to them, "Men of Galilee, what are you gazing at? That same Jesus that you saw ascend to heaven will come back, will return the same way you saw him." He continues his humanity because he continues to intercede for us at the throne. Because of that obedience, Philippians 9 says, God lifted him high and honored him far above anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. Will you stand with me? I want everyone to say Jesus like you mean it. Jesus! Jesus, we worship you. We bow down to you. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for sending your Son. Lord, that he inhabited a human body. Lord, if being missional means to go, being incarnational means to stay where you go. And he was incarnated. He took on human flesh and he moved into our neighborhood, as the Message paraphrase says. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that he satisfied and fulfilled the law, a law that we hopelessly could not do so. Lord, we thank you that He died a horrible death so that we would not have to. Lord, he became human to take our place and die for humanity. Lord, tonight we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christ and we also celebrate his mass, his death. Lord, we thank you for sending your son. Lord, your word says that from the foundation of the earth, the son was slain. This was always your plan. It was always motivated by your love for us. God, I pray that we would make Jesus Lord of our lives in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.